Yeah, I'm really worried about alienating the Nazi audience. Like, that's been we had a long talk about this.
There was a lot of,
we thought we would take a stand against Nazis.
Well, I'm excited to discuss this show with you guys.
Yeah.
It really was a breath of fresh air in this landscape that we currently live in right now, where Disney and Marvel is giving us so many mediocre projects and honestly a lot of piss poor projects, for lack of a better term. Creature Commandos shows once again, it proves once again that James Gunn is such an amazing storyteller, how he could get us to care about these characters. He's just a pro as far as character development. And this is honestly a masterclass. And I think that the people over at Marvel and Disney need to watch this show and study this show and take lots of notes. I want to see a notebook full of notes from those guys over there, because this show, I mean, even the animation style, like, it's not something that I just love. It's not something flashy or super impressive or original, kind of like What If, which that's the only good thing that it has going for it was the animation style. But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. As long as you give us a good story, people are going to love your project. What did you guys think? Just initial thoughts about Creature Commandos overall.
Animation style, I like. When you go edgy and you go for something totally new and unseen, you're always going to alienate a certain portion. You know, some people are going to love it. Some people are hate it. This is more of like, it's standard. It's just, it's not out there. They're not reinventing what animation is. It does have a distinct style. It's very down the middle. And that allows for the story to be the thing that is eye-catching and does new and inventive things, you know, as opposed to just a flashy style. The story can be flashy, I thought. And this was a fun show that was kind of a ray of coolness.
I absolutely adore this show. I have so much hope for DC's future going forward because of this. I love all the character work. I love all of the soundtrack, pretty much. The animation, it's not groundbreaking, but it's super entertaining. It's not hard to look at. The last episode alone had so much heart. I related to those characters so well. So I absolutely had a blast watching this show week to week. It's been an exciting like little bit, because I got Skeleton Crew and I've got this. So both have been super fun. No complaints here on this side.
There's a couple of things that were major bravos in this show, and that I think James Gunn can teach Marvel and Disney something very simple. First of all, episodes don't need to be 40, 50 minutes. They don't need to be in order to get the most out of them. Number two is the quality of the time in the episodes. Every minute was either action-packed or had very important dialogue, very important story building. There was no filler episode to episode. And that's something that is a huge problem right now in Marvel. It seems like they're trying to stretch every episode to 45 minutes. And because of that, you get a lot of walking around, a lot of dead pauses, a lot of the things where like a guy will just walk into a scene very slowly and take his hat off and sit down at a bar and order a cup of coffee. And I don't need 15 minutes of dead space before there's something happening. One of the biggest examples of that, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, when they were working on the boat for like 10 minutes, you know what I mean? It's just like, at some point you just got to say, look, man, I get it. They worked on a boat. We don't need to go into a whole slow motion montage about them working on a boat.
Right. You need to have a montage.
Well, montages, if done right, and like Tim's talking about here, if it's done with a purpose, you hit the nail right on the head, Tim. Give us something that's meaningful with every second. It doesn't matter if it's 45 minutes or 5 hours per episode. As long as every second that you're giving us is something meaningful, that's all that matters.
Dan shot this over to me because I binged this since Friday, just so you guys know. That's how short these episodes are. Dan shot it over to me. He's just like, hey, the longest episode is 28 minutes. Did it feel like that to you guys? Did it feel like the longest episode was 28 minutes to you guys?
No,
it didn't feel like that to me at all. No. It felt like it had just as much purpose, action, story building, all those things as all these terrible Marvel shows. I've been watching What If. Oh my goodness, man. I keep looking at my watch wondering, is this about over? What is going on? This is the big difference between Marvel and DC right now. There is one hesitation I have. I'm not going to call it a criticism. I'm going to call it a hesitation. When we deal with R-rated content, which this very much is, okay, I often wonder how it's going to interweave within the rest of the greater DC universe. That's kind of one of my things. Is this kind of going to be its own little standalone thing that just kind of exists in that universe? Or is this going to be something that they try to integrate some of these characters into, you know, the Batman, the Superman, that kind of stuff? Because if that's the case, these characters have a very, very distinct R-rated personality, and I don't know that it fits very well with that. And the reason that that's really huge is you take kids to see Batman, you take kids to see Superman. So that's kind of my main concern that I have, is how this works. Now, look, I get it. You know, Marvel did it too, but Marvel kind of was established. They had their kind of key demographic, and then they did it kind of as a parody thing. That's my only hesitation about this, is how important is this going to be?
And it's still yet to be seen what exactly or how they're going to handle Deadpool popping up in the future in Marvel. So, yeah, I think it's a slippery slope.
Not everything has to be rated R. I do agree with that. But this interests me so much because, like, I'm an avid reader of the comics, and you have this, like, where you'll have a very R-rated Justice League Dark book. And every now and then those characters can cross over with, like, the Justice League of America, and it works out. Just because they do curse in their books doesn't mean they have to curse or be extra violent in this book. So I think that's ultimately where they're going to head to. It's going to be a lot like a comic book universe where you have characters that just bleed into other characters. Pretty excited about that.
After having watched this, going into the DCU, first is like they announced James Gunn's in charge. I'm like, yay, this is going to be great. The news I was getting, and we even talked about this the last time we were on your show, we were talking about DC, and like I got very worried because of the partialness of this reboot. You know, I'm going to keep Peacemaker. James Gunn's Suicide Squad is still canon. We're going to start with this weird cartoon. It all had me very worried. But now that I've watched this show, I've seen the Superman trailer, I really feel like the DCU is going to do continuity right, in that everything can fit together and does. And like, if you want to watch all of it, you will get more out of it and enjoy like these side references, but you don't have to watch everything to watch anything, which is how Marvel started.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. Granted, mm-hmm. I mean, you had to have watched Cap, Iron Man, and Thor to enjoy the Avengers, but like you didn't have to have watched Iron Man to watch Captain America, the First Avenger. You didn't have to watch those two to watch Thor. Continuity should be an extra. You shouldn't have to do homework. It should feel like, ooh, I'm in on it because I've seen all of it. Not, I have no idea what's going on because I haven't seen all of it. You know,
and watching this little side bubble of a show was a reward. You know, it wasn't daunting like watching What If season 3. It was a reward. Oh my gosh, what a treat to be able to watch this awesome, amazing show.
That's how continuity should be. Little extra treat as opposed to homework.
The way that James Gunn really worked in the flashback kind of character building, so that you kind of get the background of each character, what their motivations are, what the things are that are making them tick, and the way that they got into trouble in the first place and all that kind of stuff. There's a lot of that that's all put together in each episode, and each episode kind of had its own little star. I really appreciated that. Dan and I talk a lot about how sometimes the format for these ends up being like very video game-like. It really wasn't like that in this show. It really felt more like a comic book series. And that's kind of exactly what comic book fans are looking for. We're looking for something where it's just like each episode was like we just went and picked up the new issue. That's a little different than what we've been seeing from Marvel. Marvel had been trying a lot of different formats and none of them were really working out. This is kind of, if this is going to be the standard format for DC, I'm really excited about what their shows are going to be.
Piggybacking off of it felt like a comic book, I think it was Stan Lee that said, every issue that I write is someone's first comic book ever. the show very much felt like it felt accessible, which is very exciting. Like, I'm very, very excited to see if that can go on through the films and other TV shows.
If you were to just pick this up and the first episode you saw was Cheers to the Tin Man, you wouldn't have been lost at all. That's exactly, I mean, you might have gone back and said, okay, I need to read the first couple issues here, right? But you would have been like, okay, that was a really interesting story. That's kind of how each episode was. I really appreciated that. James Gunn did a great job with that. I was very, very skeptical about this show.
At this point, I'm excited for season two. And I think they have an opportunity with season two to do something that we haven't seen in streaming. I don't know if we've ever seen it in streaming in genre things, to have a truly episodic adventure show. Like, this one, you know, was accessible, but there was an overarching story. I could see season two, like, there's overarching relationships between the characters, but every episode being its own adventure, going to a different destination, murking somebody or doing whatever, and then the next episode we're on to a whole new adventure, you know. And that's
all the different assignments that they send the Suicide Squad out on, you know, different missions,
right? Yeah, new mission every week.
Going back to the Suicide Squad that came out in 2021, I don't know how you guys feel about that movie, but I loved that movie. And it also
was much better. It was much better than the first one. Much better.
Oh, yeah. Well, which isn't saying much, because the first one was really bad. But it was the same way in that film as far as those little moments. And he took the two-hour movie that he had and gave us these little moments, like just one little moment of the King Shark, like looking at two humans interacting and showing care and compassion to each other. It was almost like you saw that sadness in his eyes. And every second that he has a character on screen, he makes it count. I'm so excited about Superman. I really want it to do well. This show, once again, I just cannot say enough good things about this show.
Did anybody check the credits for episode 7? Is that Stallone doing the one line from King Shark?
Yes, there's a lot of adjusting the voice in order to make it into a monstrous, gravelly tone. But the credits for the Creature Commandos list a new actor in the role with a popular voice actor, Diedrich Bader. Someone doing an impression, or their best impression of Stallone, apparently. I could tell that it wasn't Stallone.
Yeah. Is that Dee Bradley Baker? Is that who you said?
No, Diedrich Bader.
Oh, okay.
Diedrich Bader.
If he's a regular next season, it'd be cool if they got Stallone. That would be cool.
Yes. They need to.
That would be.
That was hilarious.
I loved Viola Davis coming back and doing the voice for Amanda Waller. I thought that was good. She's going to have her own series in this universe, correct, Jonathan? She's going to have her own Waller series on Max. Everybody loves to hate the guy, the paper pusher that just tells everybody what to do. Everybody loves to hate that character. And there's always that guy, no matter who you're looking at. You know, it was Thunderbolt Ross in the Infinity Saga, right? Oh, you guys need to have oversight and all that kind of stuff, right? And that's exactly who Amanda Waller is in this. She's the good guy that you love to hate because she's like too involved. And she often makes boneheaded choices without all the information that she needs to have, which she did in this series. I actually really appreciated that they brought her back because people love that character. To have this kind of be this universe's Suicide Squad, if you will, it's like poetic to have her do it.
I'm hoping that season two does not come until phase two of this, and I want them to set up Justice League Dark. Like, I want a real Constantine is what I want. Like, no offense to Keanu Reeves, he's great. That is not John Constantine. Like, I want a Hellblazer Constantine character.
I don't know much about Justice League Dark. I'm not very well versed in the comics, but I know that, obviously, I mean, it's like the Dark Avengers, you know, right? I mean, it's a darker team with Swamp Thing and
Dead Man.
Yeah, Dead Man, Swamp Thing, Constantine. The possibilities are endless. I'm trying not to talk too much about the DCU just yet. If I had to pick my favorite character from the show, this is actually something that I haven't thought about until just now. It's hard to pick.
I got one. G.I. is my favorite, and I'm just going to say it. G.I. is absolutely my favorite. You know,
he was great.
Just every question they ask him, does that mean we get to go kill Nazis? It's great. It's a great trope that they brought up over and over and over again. And I just could not get enough of it. It was hilarious. And then at the very end, are they Nazis? Yeah, they're Nazis. I just love it. You know what I mean? He is the comic relief, but also like almost the invincible character at the same time.
And Cheers to the Tin Man. I thought he was going to kill that host and that whole audience. I really did.
Yeah. I did. I was kind of hoping he would because it would be hilarious. You know,
he's going to go RoboCop on him.
That's something a Nazi would say. That was a great episode. And I hated that they wasted him so early in the series because honestly, he was hilarious and he was my favorite character. I was so glad to see him at the end that they didn't just scrap him.
I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I think my favorite was the bride. Just everything about that character was so cool. And you guys know that I usually don't lean towards female characters, especially, but that's the thing. Like, it's not because they're female. Like, that's the thing, the difference here in storytelling. James Gunn gave every single character, even the fish girl, I cared so much about by the end of the episode. You know, her dying. I could not believe that happened. You know, like, that princess was a little beastly. But then at the end, like, the decision that was made by the bride to still kill the princess anyway. A lot of great stuff here. And yeah, I think I was going to say the radioactive guy played by Alan Tudyk.
It was Alan Tudyk. We had David Harbour. We had Frank Grillo. We had Viola Davis, as we already said. I mean, Frank Grillo
was good, too.
All the way around. Yeah, Frank Grillo, I think, you know, honestly, he didn't have to do anything but a Frank Grillo voice. So it wasn't, you know, he did well. And I think David Harbour always has great comedic timing, as does Alan Tudyk. They're fantastic actors. And the fact that they brought comedy actors in for these roles lets me know the kind of tone they were trying to set. I absolutely loved it. Alan Tudyk, he was always the stand-up comic throughout the whole series.
I'm going to say The Bride is my favorite, but I thought the most emotionally hitting episode, the Weasel episode. I thought cutting back to it being revealed that he didn't kill 27 children. He was just trying to help them. And he's such an ugly character, and it's just, I don't know.
That struck a chord with you, huh, Jason?
It touched me. But I'm going to say The Bride. I got to keep it PG, but she kicked butt the whole show, and I just thought that was a cool character.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to say that Frankenstein or Frankenstein's monster, he was great, man. I like every scene with him was just entertainment gold. I love every part. David Harbour was fantastic. Like when he's outside that thing with Flag, there was you want me to go in and kill her when they're talking about the professor. He's teaching the class, you know, or they're fighting Clayface. He's like, I really don't think this plan is working out for me at all. I don't see how this benefits me. He keeps referencing romantic comedies. Have you seen the When Harry Met Sally?
Dan, I think that you like Frankenstein for the same reason that I like GI. I think that he has a lot of the same tropes that repeat over and over again. You know, oh, the bride's going to fall in love with me. I just need to kill this guy and then she'll love me. I need to do this thing and then she'll love me. I need to prove myself on this mission and then she'll love me. It was the same as GI saying, does that mean I get to kill Nazis? It was the same thing. Whenever you get a character that has their own specific trope and they do it over and over and over again, and it's still funny the thousandth time, that's how you know you've got something special. And both of those characters out of the park.
You know that we grew up watching Roadrunner cartoons. We just, you know.
Right. Absolutely, man. We know that The Rock is going to fall on the coyote, but it's still hilarious.
Yeah. Okay? Give us a new version of Wile E. Coyote and we're going to love him. You know, just
that's it.
So if you guys had to rate this show overall on a scale from 1 to 10, or I'm sorry, 0 to 10. 0 being terrible, unwatchable, you never want to see it again, and 10 being perfect, where would you put it?
I'd say about an 8.1. I loved it so much. I mean, there were little things I would have probably done different. I think killing Nina in the last episode was a poor decision because I want more of that character. Maybe not in film, but I would like to see her going forward. Especially after you give her that big backstory, I don't think I would have done that. The connection with the princess and Clayface is a little bit... I get what's happening, but I would say 8.1. I loved every episode of it. There are little things that I would change here and there.
I would go an 8 as well. And the reason I would go 8 is because there were just a few things. First of all, like I said, R-rated content, I'm still kind of on the edge. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? I have a feeling James Gunn has a plan, and I trust him. But I'm just kind of hesitant to see what happens. The other thing is some of the stuff that Jason brought up, I totally agree with. I think that killing Nina was a bad choice. It was not explained very well what Nina did. Why was Nina incarcerated in this maximum security prison? They did swarm down on her because she was the swamp monster that they captured, the government captured, but they never explained anything that she did as to how she ended up in a maximum security prison. That doesn't seem like the place that you would put a monster that you captured. I don't know what to think about that character, and now she's gone. So a lot of those questions I don't know we're going to get. So that's just kind of one thing there, but I would give it an 8. I think it was better than solid. I think that 7 is what I say when something is solid, not good. I think this was very good, and I'm going to give it an 8. I enjoyed every second, and like I said, I think James Gunn, he completely and totally cooled my qualms because I had massive doubts about whether or not this was the right way to kick off the universe, and I think he did a very good job.
I mean, not to be repetitive, I'm going to go 8 because... and in my mind, 8 means this is something that I will gladly and happily sit down and watch multiple times.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
I can't wait to show my wife this show. She hasn't seen it yet. Right. I can't wait to show it to her.
Yeah, I think I watched it in a hurry, and my wife hasn't watched it, but I'm totally looking forward to being like, hey, you got to see this. Let's watch it. And I will enjoy rewatching it. I know there will be things that I missed the first time that I will pick up this time. To me, like 8 means this is something that you consistently can watch multiple times and enjoy it every time. The only reason I'm not going to like 9 and 10 level is 9 and 10, to me, 9s and 10s are reserved for like your all-time most favorite things in the universe. These things that are so special to you that like you got to carve a whole new space in your nerd place to put some memorabilia for it. You know what I'm saying? That, and I don't think it could ever have gotten that high. There's just too many things in my backlog that I have there. Something has to be like outrageous to claim a spot in the 9 and 10 category for me now. So yeah, it's definitely 8 is as high as you can get without being like an all-time favorite thing forever. So that's where I'm at. It's an 8.
As someone who thinks that animated shows and movies don't hold the same weight as live action stuff, I have this show also ranked at an 8. Where I have it currently on my list, which is crazy, by the way. All four of us actually agree on something. That is wild. Yeah.
And you never I'm going to go outside and see if the world has ended. I'll be right back.
The world, hell is freezing over right now. No, but this might be controversial, but here's a little controversy that I'm going to throw out. The Penguin just came out. Great show. I loved it. When I initially rated it recently on my YouTube channel about 3 weeks ago, I gave it an 8. But now I let it drop down to a 7.5, and I put Creature Commandos above The Penguin. That's how good I think this show. And once again, The Penguin is a great show. It's more of like a drama. There's a little less action, definitely a lot less choreographed action. But this show, and I never thought I would say this 5 months ago, 6 months ago, but Creature Commandos is better than The Penguin.
You rank everything. I would put Creature Commandos ahead of, now I don't have a list, but I would put it ahead of The Suicide Squad.
I would as well.
That's tough, but see, you know, I don't, I rate all shows and shorts separately.
Separately from movies.
Yes, separately from movies, but I don't think that The Suicide Squad is at an 8. It's not. I think it's like 7 or 7.5, so technically I guess it is higher, even though I don't know that I want to admit that just yet. I really love The Suicide Squad. And there's a lot more movies to compare to each other. You know, I have like almost 200 movies in that list versus, you know, I don't know, 40 shows maybe at the most in there. So it's a little bit easier to throw out higher rankings, I feel like, when you have a smaller list. But anyway, thank you guys so much for joining me for this episode of Comic Book Cinema. Make sure you check Dan and Tim out on their YouTube channel, The Nerd Champs. Jason, you got some stuff too, right?
Yes, I have a podcast that you can find on Spotify, Apple, all the places where you find podcasts called Jason Explains It All. And I'm also a co-host on a little show that was called Your Imaginary Podcast.
Check us out on our other socials. We're on TikTok, Instagram, at Real Comic Book Cinema. If you're listening to us in podcast format, we thank you. And until next time, have a good one.